mic'd up and volumized and all that good stuff. And let's turn to the book of Romans again tonight. We introduced this last week. Romans chapter 3. And I'm going to read a few verses there after I pray. You find your place in Romans 3. We are still in Proverbs, and I'll remind us after the prayer of what verse we're using kind of as a directive to consider justification. So let's pray again. Father, bless the word to us now tonight. We are very keenly aware that unless you help us, unless you speak to us by the Spirit, then all we would seek to do is in vain. And so, Lord, we ask for not only head knowledge, but heart knowledge. And we pray especially as we study this great doctrine of justification that we will more and more appreciate your great grace, your almighty power, your providence, your eternity, Lord, as it applies to us as your children. And again, we'll just thank you for what you help us see tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. To begin with, let's look at beginning in a well-known verse here, 23 of Romans 3, and read down through 28 as you follow along. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Our verse in Proverbs is 17:15. He that justifieth the wicked and condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Talked about that a little bit last week and said that that which God forbids men to attempt to do or to do, don't justify the wicked, happens all the time in our country. Don't condemn the just, that also happens all the time in our country. But ultimately, in eternal things, neither one of those can be done. But God does the first one all the time. He justifies the wicked. Now, some would say, well, now He doesn't justify the wicked. He saves them and then they're justified. Well, that, as Johnny Carter says, that sounds good, but it ain't good and sound. If you really look more into the Scripture, you realize that justification cannot come as a result of our faith. Because if it does, then it crosses over into being a work, our faith bringing it to pass. Okay? So, you probably got a lot of questions about that. We're taking our time through this, probably a couple more times at least that we'll be talking about this. But I won't go to one verse right now as we get started. Turn the next page over to chapter 4 of Romans. Again, we're talking about God justifying the wicked as and when they are wicked. And that's exactly what verse 5 of Romans 4 says. But to him that worketh not, that is for his salvation, but believeth on him that what? Does it say justifies the godly? No. Justifieth the ungodly. Synonym, wicked. His faith is counted for righteousness. So, folks, what we got to understand is when we talk about this whole wonderful truth of justification, it cannot be the result of our faith, as many people think, because if it is, and you really apply the Scripture to it, you realize that we are earning that justification by trusting the Lord. That's impossible. So what do we got to do? We got to figure out more about justification. Now, remember, as I said last week, simple way to understand justification is we are declared as righteous before God, being yet unrighteous. Okay? And of course, we know that's only by the blood and merits and work of Jesus Christ. And so, His work then is to justify us, declare us righteous before God, even though we're anything but. And it's because He imputes. That's the Bible term, and that's the theological term. It just means credited to an account. He imputes His righteousness, Jesus does, to us. It's credited to our account as if it was already ours, but it ain't. It's His. And so it's credited to our account. And so again, as I've said many times, when God the Father looks at you and me as Christians, He only sees us in Jesus, totally justified, totally righteous. Okay? That's the only way we can be. So, I gave this definition last week. Let me go through it again quickly. Justification is the act of God's grace flowing from His sovereign will and good pleasure. Now, we begin to get into tonight a few of the things that we need to understand about this whole matter of being justified. First of all, according to what we just read in Romans 3 and other places, and we'll see it as we continue to apply these passages, justification does not take place in a point of time in our lifetime. Now, as Doc says, let me drag that one by again. Justification through Christ does not take place at a point in time when we believe and are then justified. Because again, like I said, just stay with me. If that could be happening, then when, in essence, we'd be contributing to our justification. Because our faith would be getting the job done. Now, we know that the Bible says we're justified by faith. Did you realize, by the way, that it only says that four times in the whole New Testament? It only says justified by faith four times out of the whole New Testament. And we will talk about, not tonight, won't get that far, but we will talk about, so then how do we understand that? We'll get there, okay? So just try to be patient and stay with me. God's eternal will to justify His people is their justification. Okay? Let me say that again. God's eternal will to justify us is our justification. In other words, His will is manifested in the fact that it's done. It's accomplished. Okay? So that's why I say it doesn't take place at a point in time. It takes place in eternity past. Okay? Now, stop right here and give a quote from one of our strong old Baptist forebears in the faith, Dr. John Gill. This is what he said. As God's will to elect is the election of His people, so His will to justify them is their justification. He goes on to say, faith is not the cause, listen now, but the effect of their justification. So justification has to be before faith, and faith must follow justification. Now, I know that's what a man said, but we're going to see how the Bible bears that out. And he's not the only one who said it, by the way, but he's a good, strong Baptist of old to quote. In fact, Spurgeon said of John Gill, there's no greater Baptist to read after. And so if Spurgeon said that, it's a pretty good recommendation, right? So, justification doesn't take place in time. It does not result from faith, then. Because again, as we said, it's not the cause but the effect. Look at 3:24 of Romans. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is saying is the redemption that is in Christ is the justifying act for you. You say, well, that took place 2,000 years ago. Doesn't matter. That's what he's saying. The justification was done, accomplished then, but it was declared in eternity past. Okay? So, no one is justified then because they have faith. Stay with me. Rather, they have faith because they're justified. Okay? So, no one is justified because they have faith, but they have faith because they are justified. And again, that's Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the peace is already there. Justification brings that. And then the faith is given to us to enter into and understand that we are justified. Okay? Now, if you can think back, and I kind of can, I'm not sure I can peg the... Like we say, I don't think I can peg the exact day and hour I was saved. It's fine for the people that can. I don't know that I can peg that. I just know I am today. That's all that matters, right? I know I am right now. So yesterday doesn't matter and tomorrow's taken care of. But the point is, some of us can remember that conversion moment. And no doubt, if you can, You probably can't go back to that and say, at that moment, I realized I was getting justified by trusting the Lord. I mean, that probably never even entered your mind. You know why? Because that's not when it happened. All you knew was, as we put it, you got saved, right? And so, but what God did in bringing all that to pass to the moment of your conversion, all that work of justifying had already been done. Okay? So, therefore then, justification is an eternal act of God, not an act in a point of time, because it's an act of His mind and will, as again, as Gill says, in the same way that God's will to choose His people is their choosing. Okay? In the same way, God's will to then justify those people is their justification. It brings it to pass. All right, so, because the Bible says that we are all blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, and that means we are right now. We're not having to wait to get those. We don't see them and we don't experience them to the fullest while we're still on earth, but we still possess them. Okay? Let's just look at that in Ephesians 1. Remind ourselves of what Paul says there. Okay, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath. Let me stop right there. Now, we don't say hath, but we say has. So what tense is hath or has? Is it future? It's past. Who hath, you could put in there in your mind, already, hath already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved. You know already that I like to say that phrase quite often in preaching. We are accepted in the Beloved. So, because the Bible says here, as we've just seen, that we are already blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, then obviously if we have already been blessed with that, before we even realize it, trust the Lord, turn from sin, whatever else we want to say about it, then justification has to be one of those blessings, right? I mean, it has to be. It's one of the spiritual blessings, and Paul says ALL are already ours. We have those blessings already. Okay, so again, we have to understand that justification cannot be reduced to what is commonly thought of as, okay, if I'm justified by faith, that means once I place faith in Christ, then I'm justified. Again, think about it. If my placing faith in Christ brings my justification, I have cooperated with God in doing that. I've had a part in it, okay? And we don't have a part in that. That's why it says we are justified through His blood. We are justified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So, to make it a little bit maybe easier to get our hands around and head around is, instead of saying, although this is true, there's never been a time when a child of God wasn't justified. That's even harder for us to grasp. But what we can certainly say and maybe get a better handle on is my justification took place at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And we can get a little bit more of that under our belt, can't we? Even though ultimately in the big picture, the justification was in eternity past. That's why Revelation says, as Jesus is beheld, the Lamb, what? Slain from when? The foundation of the world. So not only was God's work of saving already counted a done deal, but Christ's sacrifice was counted a done deal in eternity past. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either. Let's all join together and say amen. We don't. Go drink some coffee and just fellowship, whatever. See, we don't understand it, no. But it doesn't make it any less true. In fact, see, here's one of the problems, folks. people in general, people in churches in particular, I will not believe what I cannot understand. Anytime somebody says that about the Bible, they have dropped off the deep end, and they realize, or should, some others realize about them if they don't share that view. Well, you're never going to believe anything then. I mean, if I could only understand electricity before I ever made use of it in my home, I'd be in the dark from now on. And so would you, right? So we need to chunk that. I won't believe it because I don't understand it. That's the whole point. If it's God's work, we're not going to completely understand it. But we are called to believe it. And again, only those who've had that work done in their hearts can do so. All right, let me stop and see if anybody's got a comment. I got to get a drink. Yeah, yeah, it's all part of it. That's a spiritual blessing. It's all wrapped up in that. That's the Ephesians 1 passage that we just read. Yeah. Yeah.
God knows what's going to happen. We just in the middle.
Yeah.
Close to the end,
right.
We think.
Part. Yeah.
Christ justified me on the cross.
Mm-hmm. And really, like I said, what we ultimately have to at least believe, without certainly being able to understand, is that we were justified from eternity past. Now you say, so then why do we need to get saved? Because we need to get saved. That was all part and parcel of the package, folks. I mean, you know, again, see, doesn't it become a little clearer? I hope it does. When we think about it, saying, believe on him who justifies the ungodly, he that justifieth the wicked. Now, the only way that can be done is if God says, the work was already done. And there was a point in time when it came clear and was actually performed by Jesus, but the work was already done. See, it gets back to what is the covenant? If the covenant's made in eternity, then everything was settled then, in eternity past. And what we see, as Donnie said, is the outworking of that as God continues to bring in his people. See? That's the only way that it really makes true Bible sense. Right.
Christ don't have faith in us.
Right.
And he justified us. We don't see, never see. It says,
we're
more blessed because we believe and we never saw what he does.
Right.
But we do.
Around
us. Yeah. See what he does.
Yeah.
What he's done.
Yeah. Right.
Whew.
All right. All right, 2 Timothy 1. Just look at a couple verses there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 9 and 10. Now, the last word in verse 8 is God. That's who he's talking about. So we'll just say that. God, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, watch it now, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You say, well then, what happened when I actually saw it and believed? Verse 10, but now is made manifest. So it didn't start down here, it's just revealed down here. Is now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It was given us in Christ before the world began. So if salvation was given to us, justification is a necessary and completely, absolutely required part of salvation. Nobody's saved that's not justified. Okay? And so if that's what it's talking about, he saved us and called us with a holy calling, which was purposed in Christ before the world began, then justification has to be a part of that. What I'm getting at is we have to understand, and again, this, listen, it's like a lot of things we talk about. whether it be talking about distinctions in end time views or anything. I'm not saying, and none of us have to say, somebody that says, well, we're justified by faith because the Bible says so, that we get them on the corner and say, now, wait a minute. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is what I want us to do is look at this to help us. To help us have a greater appreciation of God's eternal work. And even more so, because we all need it, even more so stripping us of any possibility of thinking we had one living thing to do with being a Christian. See, the more we see that God justified us in eternity past and accomplished it at Calvary, that doesn't leave any room for me to say, well, I heard the gospel and I believed on Jesus and that got me justified. Because God says, no. First of all, you wouldn't have believed if you hadn't already been justified. I mean, that's the flow. It has to be that. So again, what I'm saying is, this helps us. If we approach it the right way, it helps us. And again, who knows? Somebody might sometime ask you about justification, and they're not sure, they don't understand. You could perhaps be a help to them in some way in regard to this. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're just going to look at a couple more scriptures, and then we'll stop for prayer time. 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 19. To wit, he's talking about reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So what he's saying is God was already in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, it doesn't mean everybody's saved. We already know that. So what does it mean, reconciling the world? What it means is that in God saving his people, and Paul talks about this in Romans 8. He talks about the creation groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. See, folks, a whole lot of stuff happened on the cross secondarily to Christ redeeming us. The whole creation got its redemption back from what it is now, back to what it was before. Now, we don't see it yet, but doesn't make any difference. The whole creation, everything was flipped back to the way it was a la the Garden of Eden, okay, in God's work. And at that last great day when Christ returns, that'll be seen. This present world will what? Pass away, because the new heavens and new earth will take its place. So what he's saying is God was in Christ already reconciling the world, which means the whole created order, and within that, all of God's people. So that's what world means there, okay? He was reconciling the world to himself. And, of course, he continues to bring that reconciliation through us living out, sharing, preaching the gospel. That's what Paul means when he talks about us having the word of reconciliation. Okay, one more verse. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9. Verse 15. Well, let me do 14 also. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, pay attention to that. He could have just said Holy Spirit. Why did he say eternal? We already know the Holy Spirit's eternal. Why? Because he wants us to realize this took place in eternity past. Okay? Through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, He, Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Our inheritance didn't start when God saved us, and it didn't even start when Jesus died on the cross. That just brought it to full view. It started in eternity past, and it's being worked out in time. Okay. So we got some more to do with that, and we'll, Lord willing, we'll pick up there next week. Any questions or comments, though, before we go to our time of prayer?
That was Hebrew
9:15. I read 14 too. Okay. So Hopefully you're not totally confused. If you are, blame the messenger, not the message. But we'll keep on looking at that. And like I said, as promised, we will look at how to understand the four times the Bible does say you are justified by faith. We will look at that and see how we put all that together. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't be dwelling on every word.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Good stuff. All right, before we go to prayer, I ran across this today. This is one of those things where you're just reading something. It's not in the Bible. This is actually one of the books that contains copies of what was Charles Spurgeon's regular magazine was printed by him and his ministry called The Sword and the Trowel. And it went on for several years and was published in London. People could read it like the newspaper. But I was flipping through there, and I thought about last week, and every week as we've been praying for folks in our church, and especially for Brother Joe, especially for Miss Hazel, especially for Gary, and of course earlier for Tracy, and the list goes on and on. But I particularly thought about this. Let me just share this with you. Now this was June 19th, 1875 is when this is recorded. That was obviously a Thursday because the comment is about the previous Wednesday night's prayer meeting. Okay. The ordinary prayer meeting was turned into a season of thanksgiving on account of the restoration of our pastor and our beloved deacon, William Olney, to a measure of health. Now just think about what happened last week. It is indeed a special favor from God to the pastor to have his zealous deacon spared. Great numbers were present and much of the divine presence was enjoyed. As the members of the church had earnestly prayed for their two brethren, listen to this, so did they with equal fervor magnify the name of the Lord who has so graciously answered the petitions of his people. How about that? June the 19th, 1875, and we had it last week. About that.